You know, there is, I'm sure you've noticed and you've taken notice that there is a lot going on. There is a lot going on in our world today. There's a lot of things. Most of what we're hearing, most of what we're seeing is making us wondering about what is going on. Where are things going? In the last 60 days, we've been through so much. We've seen and heard so much and had experiences that have challenged us. We've had experiences that have really caused us to dig deep and to think bigger and even broader than ourselves. At the same time, most of us have been reflecting on questions of the heart, questions of significance, purpose. Everyone is searching, wondering things like, who is in control? Who is in control? As we journey through life into and through uncertainty, right? Most are looking for an anchor. Most are looking for a firm foundation that will provide and give hope in every weather event of life. And I believe no matter what the uncertainty that we face, no matter what the uncertainty that we are experiencing or what chaos that we see, I believe I am created for significance. I'm designed deliberately for a reason. And I believe that you are as well, that you are too. Since you're joining me, that tells me that deep down in your heart, if we're really honest, deep down you believe that there is a purpose, there is a deliberate design that brings about fulfillment. Now, a few may even sense, they may even sense, you may even be sensing that you're designed to do something really special, something really big, but maybe you don't know exactly. You're saying, I don't know what exactly it is, but I know I'm designed to do something, and I just don't know where to start, something really big, and I'll just say this message is for you. Some are sensing a purpose, perhaps, that maybe you're feeling like that thing is elusive. Whatever I'm supposed to do, I'm just not sure. I'm kind of at a loss, or I'm kind of just trotting forward, but I don't know where I'm going, and I'm a little confused. Perhaps you're wondering about that, and I would just say this message is also for you. And if you're on the journey, and you've been walking a ways, and you're saying, I'm here, and life is just different. And sometimes I see all of this input and I'm not sure what to look at, what to follow. This message is really for you. So thank you very much for joining with me today. Maybe you've been around someone, maybe you've seen someone that you see they just humbly display a deliberate purpose in their life and loving kindness, and you want to know what drives them, what anchors, what holds them in place, what holds them together when it seems like everything else is getting blown away. So today, I'm here to share with you what I believe, and I know many of you believe this as well, but what I believe is that you are created by God for something meaningful, for something significant, for something very unique, but a very eternal purpose, something that matters. You are created by God for something that matters. So today I want to invite you to step into that, your deliberate design. So the passage I'm going to share with you in just a moment, I pray will land in your spirit, that you will just open yourself up to this, and it will build your faith, and so that you will know that you are uniquely designed. You are created on purpose for a very important reason, for a matter, something that really matters. To make a difference in this world. You are created for that. So the Apostle Paul wrote these words, and he wrote them from a Roman prison. I don't know if you've ever been in a prison. I remember taking a tour of a prison once, and they let us get in the cell, and then they closed the door. Oh, man, what a feeling that was. Paul is in prison, and he wrote these words. He said in Ephesians 4, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you, I'm pleading with you," he says, "to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. You've been given this one life to live, And Paul pleads with you. Paul says, live your one life. Live your one life worthy of your calling. That sounds, I don't know about you, but that sounds significant. That sounds meaningful when I hear that. So here's what I want you to do. For all of you that are here in the sanctuary, I want you to look across the social distancing, and I want you to just look at someone and say, you're called by God. Go ahead, do that. Look around. You don't have to get up and move. You don't have to do anything. Just look at someone. Get their eyes and just kind of say, you're called by God. Go ahead, say it. It won't hurt you, I promise you. Go ahead. And if you're online, by the way, if you're out on the front lawn, there's a bunch of you out there. You guys have done that. I can see that already. If you're online, if you're joining us, do that with someone right in your room. And if you're standing there alone, you just look right at the screen and look at that mirror and look at yourself and say, you're called by God. God has called you for a reason because, you know, in your heart, deep down, you know that you were created for a purpose with divine destiny. Because you know, no matter what you achieve in this world, no matter what you do, you were made for more than just success. There is something in you that craves spiritual and lasting significance. You are deliberately designed. You are a unique masterpiece. You are created for a reason. God is calling you. Lord God, I just pray. I pray that as we're gathered together, Lord, both live in person here, out on the front lawn, and in all the places around the region, around the country that we are gathered through this live stream, Lord, I pray that by the power of your word, by the presence of your Holy Spirit, you would stir in us. You would let us to open our hearts and minds and let us know and just let us not be afraid to open up and say, yes, I know that I am created for a purpose. I am created for a very significant reason, and I have a purpose. Would you stir us up individually? Would you stir us up as a church to sense your divine calling in our lives and as a church? And give us the courage to make you known in our families, in our communities, and in the world. And I pray this all in your name, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we live in this age, as you know, we live in this age of this, what I'm going to call instant accomplishments, instant things. You know, things happen in an instant. Microwaves. How many of you have a microwave in your house? Okay, most of you do, yes. How many of you use it? No, I'm not going to ask how often you use it, but all that kind of thing, right? Here's a new thing that I learned about this year. Actually, my wife got this for Christmas, so I'm going to let you in on this, but she got what's called an Instapot. I never heard of it. You can cook like a whole chicken in like 28 minutes or something. It's like unbelievable, right? I think you just have to catch it and put it in there and it just cooks. It's amazing. So, but this instant thing, the way we just feel about all of these instant things that happen. I was texting someone and I texted them and then I realized I'm sitting there waiting for a response. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I texted and I'm waiting for that response. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, wait a minute, maybe that person is not waiting for my text. You know, maybe they're really doing something. We live in this culture where we just want everything right away. And sometimes we have to just wait a little bit, right? Ask the questions, take a step, and wait a little bit. We live in a culture where we're posting and we're tweeting and we're texting and we're doing all of these things and we're doing them and we want immediate results. We want to know right away. And we think our messages are the most important. We think our messages are the ones that I'm sure when I text, you are just right there waiting and you're texting right back to me, right? See, Paul says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling because you have been called by God. So I want to unpack for you, what does it mean to be called by God? And this is in a sacred language that we're talking about. This is a very sacred thing. It's so helpful to understand and to unpack this so that we do understand it a little bit more, because we can be called for a lot of things. I've been called for jury duty. I've been called on the phone, and this week they wanted to get my social security number. But we can be called for a lot of things. Paul says, you're called by God. So I want to dig into this a little bit. The root word, the Greek root word for calling here is a very significant word. It's kaleo, it's K-A-L-E-O. And Okay, so you're all going, so impress me. I'm going to impress you a little bit more with some of my Greek knowledge, which I don't have much of, but I have a little bit. Anyways, so that means to call. So kaleo means to call. Kalitos means called. Kalisot means calling. But here's where it gets more interesting. Paraclete, maybe some of you have studied some, know a little bit, means comforter. And then parakletos, and some of you are saying that sounds like a bird. Well, almost, but not quite. It means an advocate. I'm glad someone laughed and got my joke because it was really bad. Anyways, but parakletos means the advocate, the intercessor. And if you're thinking Holy Spirit, you're on the right track. That's exactly what it means, called. The other place that this word is in part of the Greek word ekklesia. And ekklesia means the assembly of believers. So now you all know some Greek. You can walk around and say, hey, I'm part of an ekklesia. And people will go, well, I don't know what that is. And you can just enlighten them on that. You're part of an assembly of believers, a church. That's what we made it to be. And through the times, it was now called the church, the ekklesia. And I've preached on that before. I'll probably go back to that because I love that whole series. But anyways, but that means the called ones. Ekklesia means the called ones. Again, going back to the root of our word, it means the called ones. But here's the interesting thing. It means called out. It means called out. It's not about coming into a building. It's about going out into the world. It's about going out into the world. So your presence with me is a sign. Online, out on the front lawn, here in the sanctuary, is a sign that says, you have noticed. You have had something tug in your heart. You've acknowledged that you are deliberately designed. You're created by God. You may be trying to resist because you're unsure of what it will look like, where it might take you, what it might mean, what you might have to do, all of those uncertain things. You might be uncertain about what the experience will be like. So I'm holding back. I don't want to open up. I don't want to go there. But in your head, in your heart, really, you know that you are created by God. You are chosen by God. You are gifted by God. And you are called by God. If God has called me, if God has chosen me, it must be for something special. It must be for something significant. It must be for an incredibly significant thing. So what if I miss my calling? What if I miss my calling? I mean, what if that happens? If I miss what I'm supposed to do? What if I pick the wrong major in college? What if I choose the wrong career? What if I don't choose the right church and hear the right message from the right pastor spurring me on to do the right thing? I might miss my calling. Well, you're in the right place because I'm going to talk about all of this. Well, not all of those things, but I'm going to talk about the baseline of this, why this is important and what is most important of this and how to discern through all of this. See, Paul writes in his second letter to Timothy, he said these words, and these are important. For God saved us and called us. Here we go. What are those next words? Church, read those out loud. Go ahead. To live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from the very beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. God has saved us. God has called you and called me. This calling, by the way, this does not mean he's calling you to be a missionary in Africa or Brazil or somewhere like that. You might want to go there, but that and you may have that calling, but that's not the call that we're talking about here. He's telling us not that you're going to be a professional YouTuber and make a ton of money or anything. That's not the calling that we're talking about here. He's telling us that God has called us. God has called you. God has called me. God has called us to live a holy life. And when you hear that, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I sometimes kind of take a step back, at least emotionally take a step back, because I think, well, I can't live a holy life. I mean, I know what I've done. I know what I've been through. I know the things that I have experienced. I can't do that. So what I'll do is I'll wait until I get it, my whole life straightened out, and then I get myself cleaned up, and then I'll come to God. Then I'll open my heart to God. But if you notice right in this passage, it doesn't say God calls the holy. It doesn't say God calls the perfect. It doesn't say God calls the righteous. It clearly says that God calls us to live a holy life, not because we deserve it, but because this is God's plan, to show us his grace. I need a lot of grace and have received a lot of grace. I need a lot of grace through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be all cleaned up and all set up. We can open our hearts to him. See, God calls us to a who before he calls us to a do. And putting it this way, I have it on the notes if you want to write this down. God is about a who you are and who you are becoming before calling is about doing. It's about who you are and who you are becoming before it's about a doing. You are called to be holy. That is, holy means to be set apart. Set apart for God, for Jesus. And some of those things that we may start to recognize as we step into the calling, as we've walked in that calling for years, we may recognize, you may start to see that means you don't look like the world. You may not, and probably don't talk like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't think like the world. You don't behave like the world. You're not driven by the things that drive the people of the world because you've been set apart by God, called by God. And when you step into this calling, you are given the power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. Interestingly enough, the Bible really never talks about career as a calling. Or maybe I should phrase it this way. The Bible never talks about calling as a career. It doesn't say, in light of career, it doesn't say this is what you're supposed to do. The Bible talks about, this is getting to this point, the Bible talks about your calling is to become like Jesus. To become like Jesus, because it's about who you are and who you are becoming before what you're doing. So the better question to ask than what am I called to do is, who am I called to become? Who am I today? Who am I following? Who am I looking to? Because we're all following someone. And who are we to become? So let me give you this is a little example of this. For instance, myself, I'm going to involve you, by the way, all of you that are here up front on the front lawn. I can see some of you as well. But just you with the live streaming, you can participate, of course, as well. How many of you would say, I'm talking about me now, I, Scott, am called to share Jesus? How many of you? Okay, like four. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, that's good. That's good affirmation. A couple of you I'd like to talk with after. No, I'm just kidding. But so I'm called to be a pastor. Right, and that takes a certain set of skill set, right, a distinct set. Now, I'm called to be a husband as well. That takes a different set of skills. I'm called to be a father, and that's still yet another calling, right? I'm called to be dad to my children, husband to my wife, and I'm called to be a pastor to my church. The point is, who you are is much more important to God than what you do. Who you are is much more important than what you do. If I'm called to be a pastor, but I'm not living a holy life, then I'm not fulfilling my calling. I could be preaching messages that really connect with you and you might really like and all that kind of thing. Maybe they really challenge you. Maybe you've seen this. We've seen it in you know, nationally. Sometimes we see someone who's just preaching and they're doing amazing things, and then we find out that they're not loving their wife. They're not leading their children, and they're not fulfilling their calling, and things come apart in their life. Because calling is not about something important that you do. Calling is about your faithfulness to Jesus today. It's about who you are today. Who are you today? Who you are today has a lot to do with who you're following, has a lot to do with who you are looking at, who you are taking information in from. So who is it that influences you? Who is pouring into you? Or maybe that you're opening the floodgates to allow in. Maybe you spend time and it's a YouTuber. Maybe it's an actor or an actress. Maybe it's a sports star. Maybe it's a leader. Maybe it's a political party or a political person. Who are you following? Who are you allowing to pour into you? For God saved us and called us. Let's make this personal. For God saved you, and God calls you to live a holy life. He did this not because you deserve it, but because this was his plan from the beginning of time to show you his grace through Jesus. God has called you to live a holy life. The Apostle Paul expands on this, as a matter of fact, in his letter to the church in Colossae. So let me share this with you. Colossians 3:17. He says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it," get that, see that next word? "All. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him," thanks to God, the Father, through him. Whatever you do, whether you're doing something you love or whether you really don't like what you're doing, but you're just like doing it, do it for the glory of God. Do it to honor God. Do it to please God. Do it so God will say, good job. See, calling is about who we are and who we are becoming before it's about what we're going to do, what we are to do. So I want to just show this to you in some scripture that that I think is, it's powerful, and it has a sense of humor in it as well. So I'm going to share this with you a little bit, and just, I'm not going to read the whole thing, and if you want to read it, I just suggest take a look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10 and 11, and as you look at these, it's a very powerful set of passages. Chapter 10, I'm going to give you the summary because, again, I just want to summarize some of it. But chapter 10, towards the end of chapter 10, what happens is two brothers, James and John, who are disciples of Jesus, meaning they are followers of Jesus, they've been with him for a while, they ask Jesus for a favor. You know, they go up to him and they say, "Hey, Jesus, we want a favor. We want to sit closest to you when we get to heaven, you know, on the right and on the left. We want to sit right there," because they've seen Jesus and they know he's important, and they want to just like get in on this, right? So then we get to Mark 11. And in Mark 11, it begins with the triumphal entry. You're probably familiar with that. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. The palm branches get waved and laid down at Jesus' feet. Jesus is hailed as king, right? Big important here. Have you ever walked next to someone who was really important? You know, really important? Because I think you kind of stand a little taller. I was at a conference one time, and as I was walking in, I realized I was walking with the guy who was going to be the next speaker. And it just made me feel a little taller and a little bigger, right? Just walking next to him. There's something about us that wants to be important. And it's about who we are with, who we are taking influence from. Anyway, so the disciples come into town with Jesus. And you know, I mean, these disciples, they're his tribe, they're his guys, and they've left everything behind, and they've come to follow him, so surely this is going to be worthwhile. Surely they're going to have an experience that's just going to be like, whoa, and they've got the important job, right? They're going to have the biggest and the best, and they're going to have the jobs that everyone is going to want to do, right? They're going to have this experience that's just amazing. And in chapter 11 of Mark, Jesus gives them a message. I'm going to summarize it again because you have to kind of read this and it would take quite a while. But basically what he tells them is, if you want to be a leader in the kingdom of God, if you want to be a leader, you need to be a servant. Let me flesh that out for you. He says this. He says, as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany, two towns. They're getting closer and closer at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two of his disciples. Now, I'm speculating a little bit here. It doesn't actually say this in the text, but I think that maybe Jesus is going to use this as an object lesson to James and John. Picture this. James and John are standing there, and Jesus says, "Hey, James, John, come here. Come here. I want you to carry out, I need you to carry out an assignment for me." And they're thinking, here it is. Here it is. This is the moment we've been waiting for. I have a significant mission that we're gonna do this great thing right now. This is an important mission that we're gonna do. I wonder if it'll be healing the sick, or maybe it'll be casting out demons, or maybe we'll just get to rain down like fire onto all the Romans or something like that. I mean, no doubt this is gonna be an important thing. This is gonna be a big deal because of our capacity to lead and our experience in leadership. I mean, they're just ready for it. And Jesus says, go into the village ahead of us. Go into the village, and just as you enter the village, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie the colt and bring it here. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just simply tell them the Lord needs it, and you'll bring it back shortly. If you don't know, a colt is, in this case, a donkey. That's what we're talking about. It's a donkey. I'm guessing the two disciples, John and James, probably look at each other and they're like, wait a minute, Jesus, sorry to interrupt. We left everything to follow you. Where's the important assignment, the significant job that we came for? When do we get the recognition? We thought we'd get some fame, you know, maybe a picture on the wall or something big, maybe a plaque somewhere, something big. And Jesus, I'm sorry, but you're calling us to donkey duty? Yeah, I did just say that. Maybe I shouldn't have, and it's being recorded. The disciples here learn such a significant lesson. It's not about the size of your assignment that determines the size of your impact. What God might be calling you to right now might not look like something huge or something significant. It might not look like something that may even feel important. Think about the little shepherd boy, David, and he just had one little small stone that took out a giant. Think about the little boy in the crowd who had all he had was his Lunchable that day. And Jesus fed more than 5,000. He multiplied what that young man had. You are chosen by God. You are set apart, called by God to do whatever you do faithfully, with passion, with integrity, because you are called by God. Because you are the one who God has called. God created you for a specific purpose, to follow Him. To know who you are and to follow Him. That is who you're becoming. When you're following Him, you're becoming more like Him than others. The two disciples, I mean, think about it. The two disciples, they had no idea that when they delivered that donkey was going to deliver Jesus, who delivered the world and has offered everyone in the world grace and God's love and forgiveness. They had no idea what they were a part of from that little task. That little task. The starting place, the place to step into that each and every one of us can do wherever we are on our journey of life. A life, it's a lifelong journey, but it starts with the who. It starts with being faithful to Jesus today. When you serve with integrity, when you love the way Jesus loves, when you live generously, when you give of your time, when you, the phrase Jesus uses is to die to yourself, leveraging your life to make Jesus known. When there's more of Him and less of you in your life. When it's not about your status or your importance. When everything becomes about the one who gave His life for you. Who gave His life, who rose so that you can be forgiven, so that you can receive His grace, so that your sins can be washed away. You can be filled and empowered by the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, because you know you are created. You are uniquely designed. You were set apart to do what you do for the glory of God. That's your calling. And when you do that, you will find what you are to do. Something as meaningless, think about this with the disciples, something as meaningless as, I'll say it again, donkey duty, becomes meaningful when it's done for the one who has given his life for you and for me. You know, if you can see me, if you can hear my voice, you are called to be like Jesus. You are called and set apart to live a holy life. We are not called to live by the values of the world. You and I are called to live and to honor the God of all creation. When we start to do this, here's how it will show up, or it will likely show up in your life in all these different ways, but and many, many more than I can list right now. But how this starts to show up is suddenly you see someone in need, and you're called to meet that need, and you just do it. When you see someone who's hurting, and you stop, and you listen, and maybe you even pray with that person, because you're becoming more like Jesus. You may be called right now to love someone who's really difficult. Maybe that's what you're called to do, to be more like Jesus, is to love someone who's really difficult. Maybe you're called to pray for a prodigal child. You might be called to confess some sin, to clear away the guilt that's been holding you back. You may have a huge professional opportunity, but right now you're looking and you're saying, I'm really called to love the ones I'm with right now. Maybe you're called to simply serve in your marriage. That's not simply, that's huge. You may be called to build a business. You know, and building a business, some people think, oh, that's not a godly thing, but it is absolutely a godly thing to build a business with integrity, with character, to build a business. Think about Jesus was all excited about a guy who built his business, who started with 5 talents and then brought back 10, right? Jesus was all excited, not because of that multiplication, but because of the faithfulness, because of the integrity, and because of the passion. Your honoring of God. In whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. What am I called to do? When you ask that question, what am I called to do? It starts with a who. It starts with a who. I am a child of God who has been redeemed and who has been forgiven by Jesus of more than you can probably imagine. I'm called to be a shepherd of this church under the authority of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I'm called to lay down my life to serve my bride and to raise my children and disciple my children to love Jesus. But I have to, I'll just confess, there's a part of me that wants to be recognized as a pastor who built a big, important, and significant, and huge, and great church and all that kind of thing to make a difference, right? I wanted to walk close to that guy and rub his shoulders. But what I recognize is that one day when I stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, well done, good and important servant. What I dream about, what I pray for, what I try to keep my eyes on as a prize is that he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. My friends, you have been called. You have been called, chosen by God, set apart to reflect the life and the glory of God. Paul says, I beg of you, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling, to glorify the one who gave it all for you, the one who loves you, who forgives you, who sets you free by his grace. You are called by God. You know, we come together like this because I need to be connected. I need to be charged up. I need to be reminded of my calling. So church like this is not an add-on. It's something that's really important, right? It's not just, we don't just come and watch or sit or watch what's going on. You are part of this. We are together in this to be engaged. We need to engage this, and we do engage this, right? Because it empowers us when we engage. It reminds me to reflect on the glory of God, that that's my job, is to reflect the glory of God. That's my job for life. That's your job for life, to reflect the grace of God, the love of Jesus in all you do. Will we ever do it perfectly? Never. Not while we're on earth. But what is the target we're shooting at? If you never even have a target up, you'll never hit anything. In every conversation, in every Facebook post, in every tweet, in every encounter, you have been called by God to honor him. Are all of your tweets or all of your posts honoring God? Are they reflecting his love to make Jesus known? That's what we should be looking at. Because you know what? In this one life, this one story that you have to tell, your success will be made known by how faithfully you served and you shared Jesus today. See, success is not a fleeting accomplishment, but success is being faithful to Jesus today. Being faithful to him in this day. Paul said, therefore, I urge you, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Because you have been called by God. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that you would help each of us not to be obsessed with the what to do, to pursue the fleeting, but instead give us the courage to pursue the who. Pursue your son, Jesus. Because when we pursue your son, Jesus, when we get to know him more, when we live our life, and we live our life knowing him more and following him and living and doing and responding and carrying out the way he would carry out, Lord, the what becomes available. The what becomes obvious to what is before us. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I'm not sure where I am in my relationship with God, I'm not sure if I have a relationship with Jesus, if you're saying, I know I have a relationship, but I'm just so far away and I haven't been close to him, or I've been thinking about it, but I'm not sure where I am, I would simply say this to you. I would say right now, here's the exciting thing, you are one step away. You are one step away of having your guilt covered by God's grace, by allowing Jesus to overcome that guilt and overpower the sin that might be in your life so that you can be in a life-giving relationship with Jesus, with God. So if you're there, and I would invite all of us to simply pray these words with me. You can pray it out loud right where you are at home, right where you are in the sanctuary, out on the front lawn, and just pray, Jesus, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your love. I desire to follow you, to forgive my sin, and Jesus, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can give a life worthy of your calling. Jesus, help me to serve you in all that I do, because my life is not my own. I give it to you, Jesus. And I do this in your name for your glory, Jesus. Father God, I pray that you would help us, each one of us, in our own identity in you. Help us to live lives worthy of the calling that you have on us. Thank you, Father, that we are worthy, not because of our deeds. We are worthy only through a relationship with you, Jesus, and the gift of grace that we have from you, Jesus. So I pray that the power of your Spirit would speak directly to us and to people today, that you would set us apart, that you would give us a passion, that in all we do it for your glory. And I pray that today and in this week and in the months ahead, that your Spirit would nudge us, that we will represent the goodness of Jesus in our families, in our relationships, in our community, and help us to live lives worthy of your calling upon our lives. And I pray this knowing that when we stand in your love, we are equipped and empowered, and we can follow you. So, Lord, I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I would just encourage you to, you know, we should almost clap because someone just said yes to Jesus for the first time and others have said yes, let's come back. So I'm just going to say, that's awesome. Just give it up.